Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, direct from Cleveland, we have Father Knows Best. In the center ring, it's Donald Trump. In the right ring, it's the lovely Melania. And, of course, in the left ring, we have the children Trumps. How we've gone from Make America Great Again to Father Knows Best. Welcome to the Savage Nation, ladies and gentlemen. We are watching the most boring convention in the history of campaigns. Now, of course, there were some good speeches, and we'll touch on them. We'll touch on the actual policy positions. But the fact of the matter is, most of America is comatose from this convention, which is, I think, the plan of Paul Manafort, who must have run the campaign of George Washington. As far as I can tell, he goes back to George Washington. He's running the campaign as though it's the 18th century. No firebrands allowed. Where are the real conservatives? Where have all the conservatives gone? They're not even allowed to cross the Cincinnati River. Where are the conservatives? There are none on the stage. No Palin. Even Palin was not permitted to attend. Ann Coulter, not permitted to attend. Pat Buchanan, one of the great conservative minds of our time, not permitted to cross the Cleveland River. So, ladies and gentlemen, is this what they wanted to do? Was this the intention of Paul Manafort to make sure that every last drop of conservatism was squeezed out of the convention so that it would be as bland as Bob Dole himself? Now, you do know that Mr. Manafort, the genius that he is, ran Bob Dole campaign. How'd that work out for the Republican Party? The last we saw, Dole was told to look a little peppy out there, Bob. Get up on that treadmill. And the next thing you know, they posed old Bob Dole, who was ahead in the polls, by the way, in an undershirt with spindly arms, and he was old at the time, on a treadmill to show him looking youthful. Well, they crashed in the polls soon thereafter. So I often wonder, is it A2 Brutus? Who is actually running this campaign, and what is their real intent? Are they really working for Donald Trump, or are they really working for the other side? One would never know. Now, the fact of the matter is, we can talk about the substance of the convention if you'd like, and I will, but I'd rather talk about the substance of the subversives who are undermining whatever scintilla there is of decency at the convention. And if I were to focus on how the progs in the media are conducting psychological warfare, subversion, and control of your mind, I think you'd be quite pleased. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. How the progs like Wolf Blitzer, the others with the headphones, are actually conducting a form of psychological warfare, subversion, and control of your minds. They are subverting your mind step by step and stage by stage. How else would you explain what occurred yesterday, which I covered in some detail, and which I will touch upon again today? And that's the issue of Mrs. Trump's speech. Yes, of course, there was a little tiny overlap, but that wasn't the issue. The issue was is that Melania is so appealing that the Hillary Clinton camp went insane, fearing that Mrs. Trump would in fact capture the attention of the women of America who don't like Hillary very much. And if they have a choice between a beautiful, accomplished woman who is an actual immigrant who waited online, who speaks four languages and runs a successful business, and on the other side, a woman who looks like Stalin's housekeeper, who is enmeshed in Soviet-era corruption, I think that most women will go for Mrs. Trump. And, of course, that's why the vermin in the media created a non-issue out of a little overlap in the two speeches. Have you forgotten Benghazi? Have you forgotten the Clinton Foundation cash? Somehow that didn't make it to the subversives in the media who are worried about a few lines and overlap from a speech that Michelle gave a number of years ago. And then, of course, all these geniuses, these subversives, never looked at the abuse of the taxpayer through Michelle's endless travels around the world. The scandal of a mother living in the White House at taxpayer expense. The scandal of Michelle and her 72 personal assistants. the scandal of her travels, her rhetoric that has led to a disaster in America, the speeches at colleges, which we have played numerous times. The sudden discovery by Anderson Blooper and company. What are the other scandals that have been buried? Have you forgotten about the Muslim attacks in America as a result of the collapse of the Democrat machine and its ability to protect the American people? Have you forgotten the scandals that actually surround Obama? Of course you have. And that is because of the psychological warfare, subversion, and control of your mind by the subversives. But they're much more than deeply subversive. They're actually quite damaging to the survival of America. But going back to the most boring convention in the history of politics, how have we gone from ban all Muslims to ban all conservatives from Cleveland? How have we gone from build that wall to go into a stall? As I said, no firebrands allowed in Cleveland. Where is Sarah Palin? I said, don't make a VP, but at least she could have given a speech. She could have thrown some red meat to the crowd. So far as I know, she has not left Fairbanks. They may have even built her a special igloo, courtesy of Paul Manafort. Where is Ann Coulter? She's certainly a wonderful writer, full of life, full of spice. She can fire up the crowd. Why was she not given a speaking slot? Nowhere to be seen. Where is Pat Buchanan, old warhorse, been fighting the battle forever? Brilliant man. Why is he not at the convention? Does anyone have an answer to any of these questions? Well, I have an answer. By asking the question, I've answered the question, which is, of course, the whole object of the discussion to begin with. But there were some good talks yesterday, and I don't mean the children. Look, I'm not going to knock the kids. They had no business being up there, to be honest with you. What do they really have to offer that we haven't heard before? How wonderful life with father was? I don't think that was appropriate, to be honest with you. I would rather have heard substance from Coulter or Buchanan. And, of course, Christie did do a very rousing, childish kind of thing, the indictment of Clinton at the RNC. It was very effective. For the average person, Christie's indictment of Hillary Clinton last night was guilty or not guilty, you know, blah, blah, blah. That was very good. And, frankly, I agreed with almost every one of his points, which we'll get into in a few minutes. But he's 100% wrong, and this is what worries me, and I have to mention it, on attacking Russia. And I want to play that clip and show you the danger we're in if Christie has any influence over the direction that the Donald Trump presidency takes if Donald Trump wins. It's very dangerous if you listen to clip 8. Let's hear it.
She went to the Kremlin on her very first visit and gave them that stupid symbolic reset button. You know what I think that button should have read? It should have read delete. You know, she's very good at that, by the way. And it should have read delete because she deleted in 4 years the safety and security it took us to build in 40 years. The next year, she said our goal, America's goal, was to strengthen Russia, strengthen an adversary led by a dictator who dreams of reassembling the old Soviet Empire. What an extraordinarily dangerous lack of judgment. So once again, we need to ask, as a flawed evaluator of dictators and failed strategist who has permitted Russia back in as a major player in the Middle East, is Hillary Clinton guilty or not guilty?
I think Christie is guilty of stupidity because he sounds like a typical neocon warmonger. And if he wants us to vote in a party that's going to bring back the Cheney crowd, the Halliburtons, the contractors, he's got another guest coming. And I put that on my Facebook page last night, 14 hours ago. I said, loved Christie, but he's wrong on Russia. Typical neocon warmonger. And many people commented, and many people understand what I am saying. But many of you don't understand the danger that you're putting yourself in by voting for these neocons who want war with Russia. Russia is not our enemy. Russia is not our enemy. Russia is our greatest ally in the war against radical Islam. And why in the world the Republicans would permit this man to get up and espouse that is not a mystery to me at all. I believe that the Republican establishment is running the Trump campaign. There's every reason to believe that. Moreover, I think it's the old Republican establishment, not even the one that we want running the campaign. It goes back before Bush. which is why the Bushes didn't even attend. In fact, if you look carefully, you will see that the only former president sitting there is Bob Dole. And that's because his campaign manager, Paul Manafort, as I said earlier, is running the Donald Trump campaign. So is this good or bad? All you want to know is this good or bad for America? Is this good or bad for the future of the Republican Party and for America? These are the only questions that are worth talking about. And I believe we should talk about them. And if you care to join the conversation, we'll let you on with one caveat. We have new rules on the Savage Nation that I created last night. Here are the new rules. You start your talk. You never ask me how I am because you don't know me. It's not a personal call. Yes, I know you think you love me, but you don't know me. Just make your point. If you start to ramble, here's what you get. And that gives you 10 seconds to go before you go back into the anonymity of your boring little life. And so here we go. The phone number is 855-407-2822. Do you like the direction that the Republican convention is taking? Do you agree with me that it's gone off the rails and has gone too bland, that it is too vanilla? Do you agree with me that they have banned all conservatives, and in so doing, they have cut out the heart of the entire campaign? This is The Savage Nation. I shall return.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I think there's some genius in presenting him as a nice, rich father. I'll tell you why. Hasn't everyone in the world... Didn't you all wish you had a rich father, or at least a rich uncle? So he represents, if you want to break it down to a basic psychological choice, maybe they're smarter than I think. What they're saying is forget substance, forget policy, forget Muslims, forget Mexicans, forget all of that. It's a popularity contest. So what we're going to do is we're going to present him as a nice rich father, or rich uncle that's good for America, as opposed to a corrupt mother who secretly smokes and, like, drinks in the back of a motel room somewhere and then gussies herself up with, like, lipstick and rouge and comes out and tries to present herself as straight. Because everyone knows what she... They don't... I mean, there's your choice. Do you want a mother who is tainted? Like, kind of a bimmy mother who they gussy up? Or do you want a father who's overtly successful? See, we don't really know Donald Trump politically. We don't know him at all. But we know her very well. How many years have we had of her? 16 years. Do you know that we've known Hillary Clinton in politics for 16 years? Can anyone listening to the show tell me that her tenure as Secretary of State was anything but world-class disaster? No. She's destroyed the whole Middle East. She destroyed Africa. So what is this about? As it comes down to it, for the average person, they don't really know politics. They don't know policies. It's a popularity contest at the end of the day. So in the Republican side, as I've said now a couple of minutes now, you have the rich uncle or the rich father, psychologically. And everyone's always wanted a rich father or a rich uncle. Raise your hand if you didn't. I mean, as a guy who struggled myself, I had friends whose fathers were a little more successful or a lot more successful than my father. And as I was grinding my way through high school and college... I knew at the time that they were going to have an easier time than I would. And I sometimes, not often, because I was very driven, I always wanted to achieve a great deal in my life, I always used to think to myself, gee, what if I had a father who was a manufacturer who owned a carton factory in Long Island City, who was making 200 grand a year at that time, which would be the equivalent of, like, I don't know, 10 million now, 2 million, who knows what it is. But I didn't. And I said, my life would be so much easier. I wouldn't have to struggle so hard at school. I wouldn't have to kill myself learning, I remember the chemistry, how hard it was in college, at Queens College. It was a very tough college at that time. That's before they did open admissions and destroyed it and turned it into, you know, basically a glorified high school, a remedial high school. Queens College, or the City University of New York, when I went, which is where the kids who didn't have money went. If you had money, you went out of town. Out of town. I wanted to go out of town. What does out of town mean? It meant a campus with ivy on the walls, with green lawns. Everyone was blonde and happy. And, you know, you went there and you learned to play tennis. You learn to play golf. You learn to ski. And you could fake it as being an American almost immediately because you basically came from immigrant background, but you were ashamed of it. You wanted to get away from that as soon as you could. But the working class kids had to go to Queens College, City University of New York. There was four, not, what was the one up in the Bronx? I forget. There were like five city colleges. Brooklyn College. They were the city, and they were good colleges. They were very tough. They were based upon the 100 great books. That was the curriculum of the University of Chicago. And believe me, the teachers were tough. There was no monkeying around in those schools. So when I went into that, and I was in the biological side, I had to learn analytical chemistry. I mean, things like quantitative analysis, qualitative analysis. It was very hard. If you didn't really have a head for it, it was tough. And then when I got into physics, I found that I had no mind for physics or mathematics. I just didn't. My brain was in another sphere. I didn't know it at the time because there were no courses for the kind of intelligence I had. It took me a long time to discover where my strengths were. It was not like right out of the bat I knew I would be broadcasting and writing. I had no idea. All I know is I wanted to write. I didn't know if I could write. And the thing is, okay, so I made a successful career as a writer, one bestseller after another, and a very successful broadcaster. That's, you can't take it away from me. But I didn't know about that in college. Nobody did aptitude tests for what I was able to do. I remember at that time, there was a thing called aptitude tests. I don't even know if they give them today, because God forbid you should turn out to be a dummy and have an aptitude for nothing but being a productionless loser. They would say, well, are you going to break the guy down because he's an idiot who has no capacity for anything? So I took an aptitude test. I can't believe what it said I would be good at. I'm going to try to remember it when I come back and then go back to the convention and ask you the same question. I think we're doing well right now on the show.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Okay, so we can reduce the tension here amongst ourselves. And really, if we stop looking at policies themselves, which is apparently what they're doing at the Republican convention, I don't know what they're standing for anymore. I don't know what their platform is. We looked into it, and we did a deep analysis, by the way. If you think it's just a throwaway show, I have it somewhere here. We did like a 50 points of their... Here it is. The GOP platform on taxes, Glass-Steagall, government pensions, Wall Street regulation, tort reform, higher education, religion, and the military. We found official... English is the official language, Federal Reserve, their platform. And then we compared and contrasted with my book, Government Zero, and we found that much of their platform came from my book, Government Zero. So if you study the platform for the experts out there who do study these things, there is some meat to the bone. But if you look at the convention itself, it's really Father Knows Best. That's what I'm trying to say to you. This is a psychological setup. But there's another element here, and look, have you ever heard of a campaign director going on television shows during a campaign and making himself the star till now? Maybe I'm mistaken. When in the past has the man behind the scenes suddenly made himself more important than the candidate and giving interviews on 60 Minutes, Good Morning America? Why do we care who Paul Manafort is? Where did he come from? No one ever heard of him before. He's exactly one of these people behind the scenes that we've all feared is running the country. Why is he suddenly showing his face and making it look like it's about him? That's another element I'm sorry I'm not too happy with. So you say, well, okay, where are you going with this? Of course I'm going to vote for Trump. Do I pass the communist litmus test? That's not the issue. The issue is not whether I will vote for Trump or whether you will vote for Trump. If you're listening to talk radio, you've already made up your mind. I can guarantee you. These conventions are really not for you. These conventions are for, well, I don't know who actually. In August, most people don't even pay attention to the presidential. It's well established. They don't pay attention until after Labor Day. Did you know that? Did you know that the campaigns don't begin until after Labor Day? Most people are away. They're on vacation. They're at the beach. They're in the mountains. They're in wherever they are. They're driving around in a lumbago. No, I mean a Winnebago. You get lumbago from Winnebago. I don't know how you can take those long rides and you with the back thing. They're not paying that much attention. So who's the? It's these conventions. If you look at the history of them, they're sort of big parties for the party apparatchiks, the people with the hats and the balloons. All their life, they've lived to come to a convention and rub shoulders with each other. For what reason, I don't know. Normally, they want to rub shoulders with some stars of their party. Like who? They're not going to meet Donald. They're not going to meet him face to face. Who are they going to meet? So you don't have any conservatives really to speak of that they can meet in a lobby and buy a book from or rub a nothing? There's no one in the lobby even selling them a book so far. They ban books that are too conservative. And in a way, there's a genius to it when you think about it. Manafort has made it so bland, it's like vanilla ice cream without sprinkles. There's not even a hint of a chocolate swirl in it. If there was a chocolate swirl, he probably would have fired the ice cream maker. This is so vanilla, it's frightening. And what's the reason for it? Maybe he's smart, really genius, and he made the thought like what I said. He's presenting Donald as the rich uncle or the rich father that we all wanted. And he's trying to appeal to the average person, not to you, not to me. Our minds have been made up already. We pretty much are never going to vote for her. We know who she is. We know what she represents. We know she's a disaster. We know she's the third term of Obama. We know it's the final nail in the coffin. We know all of that. So I guess you could say it's for the unwashed masses and for the apparatchiks, a little party for them in Cleveland. And by the way, that brings me to the next question. Which moron picked Cleveland for the convention? Can anyone raise their hand and tell me which idiot in the entire Republican Party would have picked Cleveland, Ohio for a convention in the middle of the summer? Usually people go somewhere to a convention they want to have a good time, like San Diego, San Francisco. Why would you go to Cleveland in the summer? Why would you hold a convention there? Who did this? There's only one answer. I know the answer to it. This was picked a long time ago by the former Speaker of the House. That's my guess. What is his name? Jacksonville John? I don't remember him anymore. Who is he? I don't remember. Boehner. The good friend of Nancy Pelosi. You know the guy with the pink tie who cried a lot? Every speech he gave, he broke into tears like he had menopause. The guy like had male menopause. Whatever they said to me, broke into tears. He had to get out of Kleenex, and he had to change his pink tie in the back room. I never saw anything like it, but I think he's from the... Is he not from the state? Robert, can someone help me here? I think he picked Ohio, because it pumps in tens of millions of dollars in there. That's what it's about. What a reward that is to work for a party, and why I have to go to Cleveland in late July. Man, that's really something to look forward to. I know someone who lives in L.A., they can't even fly directly to Cleveland. They have to go through Chicago. It's one of the hardest cities in America to get to. It's like two flights, like puddle jumpers, to get into the town. Okay, so the whole thing doesn't look kosher to me. Like, it's not been thought out very well. And the imagery that they're using is, again, the rich uncle or the rich father. Oh, I forgot to answer something. There's a rule in radio, when you start a thought, never leave it hanging. I was reminiscing in my free associationism of when I was a kid going to college with a rich uncle. I wish I had a rich father, right, that one, but I didn't. So I knew whatever I had in life I was going to have to make on my own, okay? But I remember taking an aptitude test at Queens College. They had such things in those. Do they still have them? I still don't know. I think that because of the fears of the dummies who are going to college today, they have no aptitude for anything other than sitting like a moron having sex and smoking dope. Your aptitude is to be a complete loser. Next. What's your name? Your aptitude is to be a complete loser in life. Next. Honey, I'm sorry to tell you, your aptitude is to be nothing in life. Next. They can't do that. So we took aptitude tests. I remember to this day, one thing I remember. You won't believe what I found that I have an aptitude. I had an aptitude for when I was, what, 18? I entered college at 16, and this aptitude test must have been when I was 17 or 18. I don't remember. Book production. I was shocked. So, you know, a kid, what does a kid know? Okay, son, come on in here. Well, we've done the test, and the psychologist is sitting there. And you have an aptitude for book production. I didn't even know what it was. But I immediately, kids, I pictured something like a humming factory with books coming off a production line. And somehow I was in a white shirt and tie, which was a step up from my life at the time, in an air-conditioned factory somewhere, I didn't know where, probably near New York, but not in New York, close to New York. You could get to New York, you could leave New York, come back to New York. It was like a clean job that made a good living, and I was in charge of producing books. It seemed okay to me, but I had I never went into book production. I write the books. I don't produce them. You know, I have never, and I've got to tell you a funny story. 1972, my first book, Earth Medicine, Earth Foods. It was about Native American Indian remedies and foods. I was so into that book. I spent years writing that book, traveling the country, interviewing Native Americans. And I was so impressed with their genius of how, for millennia, they lived in the North American on the North American continent. With a rather primitive culture, as we know. But in this primitive culture, they had developed a very, very superior way of dealing with natural remedies, living off the land in the most developed way you could imagine. And the tribes all had different, you know, tribal views of how to do it, which plants, which herbs. So I got so into it, I wrote the book. And from the day that book came out, Earth Medicine, Earth Foods, I had always said to myself, you know, I really want to go to a book factory. And I want to watch one of my books being printed and coming off a production line. And you know, to this day, I've never done it. Like Government Zero or the next one that's coming out. I'll give you a plug ski for it. No, I just got it today, the final proofs. They're going to the printer tonight. Would you believe this? Scorched Earth is going to the printer tonight. It's a miracle, actually. We still have books produced and the high quality, the way they produced them. The Teddy and Me book is the highest level of production with the pictures by Vincent Rimini of my dog Teddy and I. But I've never actually seen a book being produced. But, okay, so that was one of the things I had an aptitude for, book production. But that's a digression. That's sort of the free association that I told you about a couple of weeks ago. A side story to the main story. The main story, which if you remember, if your mind can still function, the main story was, we all wish we had a rich uncle or a rich father. Right? I didn't, and I wished I did at some points. I didn't dwell on it. Because, see, if you dwell on that, then you can't do anything in your life. Oh, woe is me. I didn't have a rich father. If I was like Donald Trump, I would have done what Donald Trump did. No, you wouldn't have. Not necessarily. Some people have rich fathers and they can't do anything anyway. You know, he is one of several brothers and not all of them succeeded the way he did. So at least give him credit for that. You know, he had a brother who unfortunately didn't make it in life. He had problems. So who do you blame? You don't blame anybody. You know, that's the luck of the draw, too. There's a genetic element. There's the whole mystery of who we are. It's not to do with the parents necessarily. They're a big part of it, but not. And that goes back again philosophically to another thing, the Cahill Gibran thing about our children, which I can only paraphrase. Cahill Gibran, I believe, was a Syrian poet, heroin addict at that, by the way. I didn't find out until many years later. I think it was morphine at that time. Great writer. He just swept America by storm with his brilliant poetic writings. But when he wrote about on children, he said, look upon your children not as though you own them, because you don't own them. Basically, they just pass through your life. Don't own them. You don't own them. And you know that's a relief for parents in many ways. It's like people say to me, you must be very proud of your children. You must be overwhelmingly proud of your children for what you've accomplished. And you know what I say? I didn't create them. They are their own people. I don't take credit for them. You have to understand, I walk around saying, what great children I have. I don't own them. You know, because, look, many of you have children, and you're good people, and things didn't work out for you. What should you do? Kill yourself over it? It's the same thing. Don't attach yourself too much to your children's success or failures, because it can go one way or the other. And life is a mystery in many ways. What happens to children, what happens to us, from one minute to the next. I mean, it's philosophically true. Don't take too much credit for your children if they're successful. And don't take too much pain if they're not successful. You know, try to tend your own garden. That's what I was saying to you the other day. But again, getting back, I think image-wise, in my long soliloquy today, if they're that smart, and I don't know how smart they really are, on a psychological level, they're presenting us with Donald Trump, rich father, rich uncle, as opposed to Stalin's housekeeper, who behind the scenes is basically a drunk and corrupt. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I get songs in my head lately, such as Strike Up the Band. That's the one I wanted. There is work to be done, to be done. Come, you son of a gun, of a gun. da-da-da-da, strike up the band. I don't know who, I need to get a good version. I don't know why it's in my head. I have no blockade between my subconscious and my conscious, which is a problem at times. And I am so bored of the convention that I'm actually humming to myself. I can't wait for this to be over, because at least for the Democrats, we're going to get around-the-clock hatred of America. That we know. You'll have Black Lives Matter complaining up there. You'll have the fake scientists who have made millions of dollars on the global swarming. You'll have a transgender for sure. Probably a transgender in a military uniform cheering. The crowd will go crazy, giving a speech about how she can't wait to serve America in a surgical ward for the next 3 years. It's unbelievable what's coming. Because I told you, as a child, I always liked odd things, odd people, odd shows, odd places. Growing up in New York City, I liked the odd. I used to travel out to Coney Island on the subway when they still had, you know, a freak show. And I'm not knocking people who are disabled. But the thing was, there was a thing called a freak show, and I always gravitated to the freak shows. And that's why I can't wait for the Democrat convention. It's the closest thing to a freak show you have. They're going to probably get out Susan Estrich. She can put down the booze for 10 minutes. She give a speech on the greatness of America. I can't imagine who they're going to have, but it's going to be more interesting than this. This is a classically Republican versus Democrat. Republicans are always like bland, vanilla, nothing exciting, like 99.5% white people. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying. Like, they have like one, you know, like the camera pans. Oh, there's a black, like you notice it. Oh, there's a Hispanic. You know, I'm serious. It's like, okay, it's so clear what this is. It's embarrassingly. Am I right, Robert? Come on. You know I'm right about this. And you know that with the Democrats, it's going to be like the Rainbow Coalition is going to be there. You're going to have like the whole rainbow thing over and over again, beating you up. We're diversity. They're not diversity. We're for this. There's going to, the one Muslim they had at the convention spoke against radical Islam. He was great. He had a speech he gave last night, I think. I didn't even know there was such a Muslim. I mean, who could stand up like that? He's great, great. I don't know how long he'll last, but he was terrific. They'll probably have one who speaks about the wonders of jihad, and the Democrats will break into applause. Then they'll have someone speaking about how bad Israel is. They'll break into applause. They'll have a floor vote on whether Israel should be condemned. They'll break into applause at the Hillary convention. So maybe we should thank God for bland. Maybe bland is good. I mean, right now I'm on a bland diet because of a skin condition from watching the convention and getting bored. I broke out in hives from it. I turn it on, and there's nothing. I can't wait for it. I like Melania. I told you that. I like the outfit. I like the presentation. I like the Zsa Zsa Gabor. I like the immigrant story. I liked it very much. But I'm not knocking the kids. What were they doing there? It was basically their show that he has. That's good. He has a good. He's a family man. I get it. But they're not politicians. What do they have to do with the political organization all of a sudden? Have somebody who knows something about politics give a speech. Many of you are saying, oh, you're just pissed off they didn't invite you. No, I'm not, and I'll tell you exactly why. You don't even understand this. You don't understand that I told people by email, don't even think about having me because I'm not going, and I told the reasons why. And you want to know why? I'll tell you when I come back on the Savage Nation. They should have had Pat Buchanan. They should have had Ann Coulter. It's not about me. I have a daily show. I don't need a convention. Do you understand me?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It was a good opening to the last hour, but I'm not going to repeat myself. That becomes absurd. But I want to look at my main point of today. You know, Marshall McLuhan of the 60s wrote an important book, The Medium is the Message. Medium is the message. Medium is the message. And conventions and campaigns are all about images. Most people don't care about policies. You know that. The average person, if they're not getting shot at in the street, which of course today is if they're not getting shot and there's meat in the butcher store and there's a loaf of bread in the bakery, and they go on a bicycle ride and go on a hike and take the kids on a vacation, they figure things are not so bad. They're not going to look at the minutiae as you and I do. They're just not into it. They know that, you know, that there's a lot of sickness in the society and they'd rather look away from it. They just care about their own lives. So the election comes around and they make a choice. Some of them already made the choice in advance. They're lifetime Democrats. They're going to vote for whoever it is. They put Frankenstein in there. They would vote for her. Others, rock rib Republican, whoever they put in, you know, doesn't matter. They're going to vote Republican. So the elections don't, you know, live and die based upon those who know who they're going to vote for. The whole thing is about the undecided, the sliver. That's the whole thing about the sliver. They're all going for the sliver vote. It's like slivovitz. But the thing is, even the sliver isn't looking right now. They're gone. The sliver isn't around now. The sliver is on vacation. The sliver's not watching the convention. Maybe in passing. Maybe treat a ball game or this or that. They're going to watch a convention. Now, what do they see? So just a flash through the Republican convention, they see a handsome guy and a good-looking wife representing success. So promise is the image is the promise of success. You vote for the R, you're going to get success. Two successful, good-looking people, nice family. Maybe some of it will rub off on you. There might be trickle-down success. There's a whole new one for the kid. Trickle-down success. That's what they're selling, trickle-down success. Then, what is it, next week, Robert, the Demon Cat Convention? What city are they in? I can't imagine. They wouldn't have picked Cleveland. At least Democrats know where to go for a party. I don't even know what city they're in, but it's not going to be Cleveland. Where is it? Anyone know where it is? Philly, another great choice, another great. That's another wonderful place to be in the hot summer. Another great gene. Why they pick Baltimore? Right after the Freddie Gray thing. They should have picked Baltimore, the geniuses. All right, so they'll be in Philly next week. And what are you going to see on the stage from success? They're going to present something else. The same old, same old. It's going to be diversity. They're going to sell diversity, that we're not all white, even though the whole party is run by rich white people. They can make believe that they're not a party of white people. That's number one. So they're going to have a whole diversity. So they're going to sell diversity. Then they're going to sell what? Children, something with children. That's her big thing, going back to children. Like Trump hates children. So he trumped her by showing actual real children. Instead of talking about children, he showed real children. So she can't use the children card. So she has very little else to use. What is she going to use? Hate police? By bringing in Black Lives Matter? She can't do that. There's very little they could do other than push the diversity issue. So they're going to have a lot of gays, a lot of lesbians, a lot of trannies up on the stage in the audience. And they're going to say, that's your choice now. I don't know what else they're selling. She's not a very attractive person. Forget you don't know Hillary. Forget her policies have been a disaster. If you were to just scan through the channels next week, you see, who do you see? You see a miserable old woman who's mean. Miserable woman. And on top of it all, she's been known for 16 years now. 8 years while she was co-president, and for how many years Obama's been in power, she's been a very well-known figure. It's not like she's unknown. She's very well-known. So why would anyone choose her unless they're tied to the Democrat Party or they're on welfare or they're an illegal immigrant who want to be granted a green card? Why would they want her? Why would any American choose her? I don't quite understand it. So with that, I would say hands down he's going to win. Now, who knows what's going to happen with all of the machinations and the voting and who counts the votes and all of this. And, of course, there's the other factor, which is the Wolf Blitzers of the world, who are the enemies of everything good in the world. In fact, when I was watching that evil man last night on CNN, I literally, for the first time, wanted to reach through the tube and pull him out by his tie and smack him in the face. And the reason I despise Wolf Blitzer more than anyone else in the media is because he pretends to be a nice old guy, but he isn't. Wolf Blitzer has been conducting psychological warfare and subversion to control the minds of America through his psychological warfare for as long as I can remember him on television. Which leads me to something else. The Prague's coverage of the Republican convention, I'm using the word Prague to describe progressive, in case you never heard it before. I'm sick of using the word liberal. It's so overused. I'm not going to use it anymore. We've used it for so long, right? Okay, I've been writing about it for you. So I'm going to use the word progs, progressives. The progs convention coverage, as exemplified by the little men and women, the Wolf Blitzers, the other one, and look, back. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to cover. So there's two lines overlap with the other one's speech, and already they turned it into bigger than the World War III. It's already bigger than every subject on the planet. Two lines overlap from whatever her name is. I don't remember her name. Barack Obama's wife. I don't remember her name. I swear, like, I don't carry it around like, you know, the be-all and end-all. I don't watch television that much. Michelle. Two lines were identical to Michelle's lines, and Michelle took her lines from books. So they left that out, all of the progs. They made that a bigger story than the rape of the little girls by the ISIS subhumans. The industrial rape machine that's going on in the Middle East was not covered by Wolf Blitzer. It's a shame. It's a disaster. So why is this happening? Because of the psychological warfare subversion and a desire to control Western society. Now, I'm going to go into something here out of right field. I stumbled upon something on the internet, on YouTube, done by a former KGB psychological warfare expert named Yuri Bezmenov. No one ever heard of him. And he happens to have done the most amazing speech on this subject I had ever seen. And he was talking about how subversion is the key, and how the goal of subversion is to convert the mind, and how subversion comes in stages and takes great patience, and how keys to changing the mind are changing religion, education, and using the media. And then this former KGB officer, I don't even know if he's still living, said something about people like Wolf Blitzer, who are the enemies of all free people, in my opinion, in clip number 26. Listen to his own words.
The bodies of people, groups of people, whom nobody elected, never, as a matter of fact, most of the people don't like them at all, and yet they exist. One of such group is media. Who elected them? How come they have so much power, almost monopolistic power on your mind? They can rape your mind. But who elected them? How come they have a nerve to decide what is good and what is bad for the elected by you, President, and his administration?
So in other words, they're trying to tear down everything decent about Melania Trump by focusing on one overlap of a few words. This is what he means by the evil psychological warfare being conducted by the vermin in the Prague media. Get it? But there's more to this speech than meets the eye. And I'm going to play a little bit here and there over today. And he's trying to tell us, when was this done? It was done a long time ago. I think it was done in the 70s, right? If I'm not mistaken. He was saying people mistakenly believe that undermining a nation is done through espionage, meaning through spies. But he said, no, that's the smallest part of undermining a society. Did you hear? Listen to clip 18 as to how a country is destroyed.
The espionage as such occupies only 10 to 15% of money, time, and manpower. The rest, 85%, is always subversion. Subversion in Soviet terminology means always a destructive, aggressive activity aimed to destroy the country, nation, or geographical area of your enemy.
What you are hearing today on the Savage Nation is probably amongst the most important shows I've ever done. Now, how big the audience is, how small it is, how focused they are during the summer now with the convention, I don't really know. But I do each show as though it's for posterity. And sometimes I joke around, I'll play around, I'll bring in the dog or the harmonica, talk about food or my ailments. But at the end of the day, I'm trying to awaken you to the fact that America's future is hanging like a loose tooth on a really thin strand of DNA. And the distractive aggressive activity that is being used by Wolf Blitzer, again, I'll keep repeating the name so you know who I'm talking about, Jake Tapper, and people like them. They are exactly what we are talking about when we talk about the enemies of our freedom and the enemies of our way of life, in my estimation. Now, let me give an example. again, the Melania speech. That was a distractive, aggressive activity aimed to destroy the country, the nation, or geographical area of the enemy. The enemy of Wolf Blitzer and Jake Tapper is the Republican Party. Anyone that does not support Hillary is their enemy. They hate the Republican Party more than they hate ISIS. They are more vindictive than this. Well, you get the, I don't have to go down the line. But then he says most of their activity is legitimate. And it is. It's not illegal. Now, I want you to listen to what it is to be a subverter in clip 19.
Most of this activity is overt, legitimate, and easily observable if you give yourself time and trouble to observe it. But according to the law, it's not a crime. Exactly, because of misconception, manipulation of terms. We think that subverter is a person who is going to blow up our beautiful bridges. No. Subverter is a student who comes for exchange, a diplomat, an actor, an artist, a journalist like myself.
You are listening to Yuri Bezmenov, a former KGB agent. This piece, I stumbled upon it over the weekend. I don't know how long, a week or two ago. And I've been saving it for the right day. Because what we're witnessing right now, and the case in point is blowing out, way out of proportion, the overlap of a few lines in Melania's speech with that of, again, Mrs. Obama, Michelle, is exactly what he's talking about. Subversion, psychological warfare, control of Western society by manipulating the mind. And their goal is to subvert your mind and convert you into thinking that she actually did plagiarize, and that that now is the biggest story in the entire world. So this shows you who the true enemies of your survival and your freedom are. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I'm talking about psychological warfare in plain English, subversion in plain English, control of your mind in plain English. And I'm giving you examples of how the progs work. And there's no greater example than what's been going on at the convention, this bland vanilla convention, where there's virtually no controversy that they can attach themselves to because it was planned that way. Manafort and company decided, I believe, to create a vanilla ice cream cone that could not be assaulted in any manner. That's why they have no controversial speakers. And that is why I told them in advance, by email, I'm not going to make it about me. Don't even think of inviting me because I'm not going to go for reasons that we can both agree on, which is that the minute I would appear on the stage, if that would ever happen, can you imagine what these subversives would be saying? Michael Savage, who was banned in Britain for saying kill all Muslims, which I never said, was it da-da-da, immediately would destroy the Trump campaign. And the evidence for that, that's why they don't have Pat Buchanan or anyone else, is because the subversives in the media, the Wolf Blitzers, the Jake Tappers, the Brian, whoever their names are, who can remember, it's a blur. They tried to destroy the entire campaign based upon a non-event. And it's 2 days now, that's all they're talking about. They're not talking about anything else. So you could imagine what they would do with a controversial speaker who actually talked about anything fundamental. Borders, language, culture, English as the official language, reigning in the Federal Reserve, bringing back the Glass-Steagall Act. They would go insane. It just shows you how small-minded they really are. I want to take some of your comments because I've been going on for quite a while now without any calls. And perhaps this is too esoteric for the average listener. I have a feeling, who knows? Who really knows what people want to hear? And every day you have to go with what you are interested in. And hope to God others are interested in it. And if they are, they are. If they're not, they're not. You can't do it any other way. Because the day you start pandering to your audience and try to second guess what they might like, you're finished. Then you start sounding like everybody else is appealing to the audience, not really presenting anything new. What I've given you today is brand new. You've never heard it before. Never. Nobody in radio has done what I did for you today in the way I did it. Nobody. Which is why I was granted the induction award. There's no question. Somebody up there knows what's going on. They're called the listeners. Not the radio industry, not the 400 executives. They never would have picked me because they had a chance to do that 2 years ago, and they didn't. They made the mistake of opening up to the listeners. The listeners told them who the most popular talk show host in America really is. That's the reality of it. And that's because you're listening to the show, and you're actually listening to what I'm saying. And so if I say to you, I'm playing tapes from a former KGB agent on psychological warfare, and I give you an example from the convention today, most of you get it. I'm playing tapes of Yuri Alexandrovich Bezmenov, who died in 1993. He was born in 39. He only lived to 54. He was a journalist for RIA Novosti and a former PGU KGB informant from the Soviet Union who defected to Canada. How did I, Michael Savage, stumble upon his tape? Why? What do you think I do with my spare time? I read incessantly. I review documents incessantly. If I showed you a snapshot of my desk, you'd say that's impossible. Nobody can read that amount of work every week. That's what I bring to you. I bring an encyclopedic knowledge. And then I have to boil it down to the simplest possible terms and hold on to a mass audience. Okay? It's real easy to do. All it takes is 22 years of practice.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So look, I have a fairly diverse audience, intellectually diverse, and many of my listeners, or a good percentage of them, let's start again. One of my stations in Washington, D.C., WMAL, it's a powerful, powerful station. In Washington, D.C., you have the entire nerve center of the United States government. You have spies from around the world. They tune into American media. They want to hear what people have to say. So they probably dismiss most people in the media as useful morons. And then along comes someone who has insight, who they know entertains people to get them to listen. They can listen through that. And then they actually listen to what I'm saying. And today, when I'm talking about Yuri Alexandrovich Bezmenov, a journalist for RIA Novosti and a former PGU KGB informant from the Soviet Union who defected to Canada, died in 1993, and here I am playing his tapes in 2016, which I stumbled upon on the Internet, and I made it fit perfectly, the convention and what the subversives, the progs, are trying to do to the Republicans, namely because they have nothing to attach themselves to. They try to tear apart Melania on a non-issue. They know what I'm talking about. They know exactly what I'm talking about, and I hope you do as well. And so before I take one of the calls, which I'm going to do in a moment, I want to play one more of his pieces, which is the goal of subversion is to convert the mind. Listen to clip 21.
You know that war is continuation of state policy, right? So if you want successfully to implement your state policy and you start fighting, this is the most idiotic way to do it. The highest art of warfare is not to fight at all, but to subvert anything of value in the country of your enemy. Okay. Until such time that the perception of reality of your enemy is screwed up to such an extent that he does not perceive you as an enemy, and that your system, your civilization, and your ambitions look to your enemy as an alternative, if not desirable.
Now you understand the useful idiots who think socialism is desirable. They've been brainwashed. They've been subverted. It's been going on a very long time. So now let's bring it down to the convention. Successful white family, good looking, everyone is successful, everyone sounds fine, everyone's articulate. There are no drug addicts or drunks amongst his children. No one's in or out of rehab. Quite a change for America, isn't it? Now, compare that with the Democrat Party, which is filled with misfits and losers and anti-Americans of every stripe you can imagine. By and large, what I just said to you is what they're going to present next week. Losers, complainers, haters, rehab people, you name it. So what do they do now is they try to tear down the good people, the beautiful people, the successful people on a non-issue. That's exactly what I'm saying to you. This is how it's done. So that's why I say to you, when I watched Wolf Blitzer last night, I literally wanted to reach through the screen and grab him by his necktie and pull him out of the television set and slap him in the face and say, what happened to you? How could you, as a descendant of Jewish people, How could you, as a man born in Israel, be doing this to America? When you know very well that the Democrats lied to the American people, John Kerry should be in prison for what he did. Ben Rhodes will be in prison for what he did. They gave Iran a path to the nuclear, to a nuclear weapon while they sold the American people on a false bill of goods. And you know it, Wolf. How could you let this happen? Why are you on the wrong side, Blitzer? Is what I would ask him. And Jake Tapper, for that matter, and all the others of the same mentality. Why do they hate this country so much? But since they're there very busy with the headphones on, they didn't hear the show today. But you heard the show today, and you're hearing the show today. And the theme of the show is multifaceted. The primary theme is not only the psychological warfare, subversion, and control of Western society, which you're talking about, but I started by saying the convention is the most boring convention I've ever seen in my life. How we've gone from Make America Great Again to Father Knows Best. And I said it's the most boring convention in the world. And then I said purposely. Manafort made it so that they couldn't be attacked. That's why he invited no controversial speakers. That's why there's not even a book for sale in the lobby, so far as I know, other than how to fix your toilet or something like that. Let's take some callers. Wayne on WABC, thanks for being patient. What's on your mind, Wayne?
Thank you, Michael. I'd like to speak about your judgment of the convention. Anyone's perception, your perception, is your reality. Okay, and you bring feelings to your decisions. Okay, it's not the way a person thinks, it's the way they feel that determines their decisions. They justify logically, no question about it, because they want to justify their decision. But, for instance,
So far, Wayne, you haven't made any cut. What's your point so far?
My point is that your judgment of the convention is based upon your perception of the convention, but there are people out there that have different perceptions, and thus they feel different.
I got. So what's your point? Why do people tune into the show? Don't they want my perception?
Of course they do. That's why I'm calling, is because I was listening to you and I value your perception. But my feelings about the convention are different, and I'll tell you the reason why. It's my perception that I bring that I really love Trump, okay? And I like his direct, non-politically correct style, okay? In other words, talking about what people...
What you're doing now is projecting your emotions upon the realities. He is doing pure political correctness at the convention. You missed the whole point.
He wants...
The entire convention is politically castrated.
Keep it simple, okay? He's talking.
No. You didn't hear what I said. The entire convention is a castrated convention. There is no testosterone of any kind. It is a giant variety show of success, goodness. It's very much like, you know, what was the show he ran? What was the show that Donald Trump ran? The Apprentice. This is almost like a show like that. All you see are successful people, one after the other. I know that there were some others who spoke, but no one ever saw them. It's all successful blonde white people. And so people are being given a choice. Either choose the rich uncle or the rich father or Stalin's housekeeper. That's what I'm trying to say to you. What's wrong with that perception?
No, I'm talking about your general perception is negative. But there's a mass audience out there that wants it simple. And this is what they're doing. They're keeping it simple.
Again, you missed the point. Again, you missed the point. You think I don't know what the masses see this as and what they're trying to do? I think you're wrong if you say that.
Yeah. All right. Listen, I value your opinion, no question about it. I've learned...
I'm not knocking your opinion. I'm not saying you know, you're not smart. But you're giving me an example of... You haven't given me one example of why a bland convention is good.
Well, as I said, it's to keep it simple, and when I sell...
All right, so where is his message about borders? Where have you heard his message about borders?
Well, the wall. The wall is about borders.
I understand. So did he say build the wall? Who said build the wall?
Donald Trump.
When did he say that at this convention?
I've been listening to you for a long time, and it's all about...
No, sir. When did Donald Trump say he's going to build the wall at the convention?
No, he's not going to build a wall at the convention, I don't think.
I didn't say build a wall at the convention, but you just said build a wall. When have you heard any of the speakers say they're going to build the wall? Let's put it to you that way.
Yeah, have not heard them.
Now, Donald hasn't spoken yet. He's going to speak tomorrow, I believe. Let's see if he's full of fire and brimstone or if he does the bland, centrist, Manafort version of himself. I hope he goes to the mattresses and says it like it is and gives us some fire and brimstone. I myself will vote for him. I've told you that. You will vote for him. But the convention is not aimed at us. It is aimed at the large sliver of undecideds. Don't you agree?
No question about it. No question. And that.
All right. Thanks for the call. I almost couldn't digest the turkey after that. The caller, I don't want to define the caller. That's not right. My callers are the people who voted for me, so I'm not going to say anything. He reminded me of an uncle who passed away not too long ago. I liked the uncle. I saw him maybe once or twice a year. He was so deliberate in his knowledge that he wouldn't let you go. It was a little bit on the order of, Bernie. I always had a little bit of a conservative Bernie right there. Didn't I? He was like the kind of guy who would corny. I'm serious. You have a family party. The uncle. He's smart. Maybe he fought in Korea. You don't know. Whatever. Vietnam now. Knows what he's talking about. And he's very opinionated. Okay, so am I. But he gets you in a corner in a crowded room. And he latches on to you. And you can't get away from him. And he's very deliberate in what he's saying. See, Jim is shaking his head because he's Italian. He has uncles like that. Robert's shaking his head because he's, of Eastern Europe. You're Polish, right? Can I say that? Am I allowed to say anything? Very nice. He's probably got relatives like that. There's always an uncle like that. They're very deliberate in what they say, but they don't let you alone. And they corner you, and God forbid that they just ate something with garlic on it before the speech. Then you're really finished. All right, I wish the guy was still there. I'd give him a present. I'm trying to take it to another level here, but I can see I'm not going to get there. I can see by the caller who's intelligent. He missed the whole point of the show. I knew this would happen. And this is why I revert to the harmonica, the food, the dog, the meatball, because you can't take the rest. Is there anyone in the audience who understands what the hell I'm talking about? Will somebody please call the show from WMAL in Washington, perhaps? Somebody who is in the military intelligence field? Somebody who's a former KGB officer? Will somebody call a show and say, yes, you're 100% right. I know what you're talking about. Because I feel like nobody understood what I just spent an hour and a half talking about. If I stuck to the same storyline that you've been hearing for weeks, this good, this good, this good, that bad, that bad, that bad, then I get the callers, yes, Mike, no, Mike, yes, Mike, no, Mike. I'm telling you how the Progs are destroying your mind, how the Progs have destroyed Western society. I've given you a face of the Progs, Wolf Blitzer, Jake Tapper. They have names. They have faces. They look just like us. They sound just like us. They come from mothers just as we do. Some of them have children just as we do. But make no mistake about it. They have subverted and destroyed Western civilization. Do you understand that? Well, okay, that's what I've been trying to tell you. In fact, it's worth playing clip 26 again right now. From the former KGB agent who saw this so long ago, when he tried to warn America, and Canada for that matter, about the subversives within our governments, in the media, in Hollywood. Remember what I'm saying to you. Remember how this all fits together with my plan for bringing back a new UAC. Look, if Donald Trump wins, and if they ever call me, and I don't know that they will, if they do, and they boil it down to what would you like to do, it's not going to happen, but because it's all about money. They're never going to do it with the talk shows. Let me tell you how it works. You buy your way into every administration. Make no mistake about it. Okay, I'm no child. You know what I mean? The entry fee is $10 million, then you can get what you want. You might get an ambassadorship to Slovakia, whatever. But let's say in the dream world, and you don't have to buy your way, and this idealistic campaign calls me and says, Savage, you're with me from the beginning. What would you like to do? So I said, well, I thought about it. First, I thought I wanted to straighten out the NIH so we'd have some truth in the sciences or the NSF. I said, you know what I really want to do is I want to run UAC. I want to be the man behind the scenes creating a new UAC, and I want to try all the subversives who destroyed America. Remember what I just said to you, because the minute you say that, they're going to bring up McCarthy and the false narrative that lives were ruined, there was a blacklist, and people's lives were ruined. They were not really, they were communists. The Venona Papers, V-E-N-O-N-A, which came out in the late 90s, proved beyond a reasonable doubt that those in government in Hollywood journalists were in fact working for the Soviet Union to subvert America, exactly along the lines of what I'm saying to you. So what does it have to do with today? They're still there. Wolf Blitzer doesn't have to work for the Soviet Union. Wolf Blitzer doesn't have to receive information on a park bench in Washington. Jake Tapper doesn't have to receive an envelope full of cash. That's not what I'm saying to you. They themselves have been converted a long time ago. With the entire Democrat Party, they've all been converted to this subversive view of America. Listen to what the KGB agent was trying to warn the West. Listen to what he said in the clip I played just a few minutes ago. He said the worst way to fight a war is with fighting. It's the most idiotic way to do it is through fighting a war. The highest art of warfare is not to fight at all, he said, but to subvert anything of value in the country of your enemy. Until such time that the perception of reality of your enemy is screwed up to such an extent that he does not perceive you as an enemy, and that your system, meaning the socialist system, your civilization, the socialist civilization, your ambitions for total control, Hillary, look to your enemy as an alternative, if not desirable. I rest my case. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation, and I guess many of you are misinterpreting everything I'm saying because you're true believers. It's either you're for Trump or you're against him. No criticism permitted. No observations permitted. Like a bunch of robots. It's sickening. You think I'm going to shut my mouth now because I'm saying one thing about this vanilla convention? Is there something wrong with your thinking? You're sounding like the left wing. You say one word now about the convention not being interesting, and right away you're a communist to these morons. Bruce on WMAL, I hope you get the drift of my show, because a lot of people do not.
I think I do, Michael, and I understand why you're frustrated. You're a thinking man, and you're aware of these things, and so the old analogy is, you put a frog in a pot that's boiling, it's going to jump.
No, we know about the frog and the boiling, but what's the point? Did you hear this KGB piece? What do you think about that?
It's very refreshing. You're revealing the art craft behind how these people are doing this stuff. And so it's very revealing to people that want to think about it to hear, you know, how they're actually doing this, the poison and the tactics they're using to destroy us.
Correct. So the progs in the media are the enemy. The enemy is not the Soviet Union. The enemy is not the Chinese. The enemy is not Putin. The enemy is CNN, MSNBC. That's the enemy. The enemy is ABC, CBS, and NBC. That's the enemy. The enemy is PBS. That's the enemy. The enemy is all of these brainwashed progs. They've actually eaten the propaganda, digested the propaganda, absorbed the propaganda, and have become the enemies of freedom itself. Now that's the speech I would like to give, and I just did, to more people that are at the convention. Think about what I just said to you. What I just said was heard by about 300,000 people, 350,000 people, every 15 minutes tuning into this show, millions a week. I don't need a convention. I have this audience right now on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
With it, taking it all the wrong way, if you've listened to the show, naturally, people take things the way they want or they perceive things the way they want. I am commenting on the fact that there's very little substance at the convention. There's some, but little. And the primary motif of the convention is that you're going to have a choice come November of a rich or a father, a rich uncle rather, or a rich father that you never had called Donald Trump with a nice family, that they're all good people, or the other side. And the other side is defined in any way you want it. I would say there's so many different things you could say about it, but none of them are good. The imagery of her is all negative, and the imagery of the Trumps is all good. So my complaint is that there's not enough messaging of conservative principles, but I understand why they're not doing it. I'm an expert on the masses and how the mass mind works, or I wouldn't be where I am. I mean, let's be clear. I didn't read any textbooks on how to reach the masses. I wrote the textbook on how to reach the masses. And there's a lot that can be learned from me. And for those of you who listen to the show every day, know that I'm actually the true professor of conservatism on the radio and have been for many years. I don't need anyone to confirm it or deny it. We all have our own audiences with some overlap. And it's not a popularity contest at this point for any of us. What matters now is the survival of the nation. And the Manafort people who are running the Trump campaign have made a strategic decision, and it could be the right one. It wouldn't be the way I would do it. I'm more of the fire and brimstone type. I'm more of the borders, language, and culture speeches type. I would have had Pat Buchanan there and other firebrands, but they don't want firebrands. They want bland. They want vanilla. They don't even want chocolate swirl. They don't want cherry vanilla. They want just straight out vanilla. No sprinkles. No sprinkles on that ice cream cone. Vanilla, vanilla, vanilla. Blonde, blue-eyed, nice people. Nothing wrong with it, but that's what they're selling. It's like an ad campaign. And the advertising men have taken over the Trump campaign, and the advertising men are saying, we're going to sell you as a nice, rich, successful father with a great family. That's what it is. Father knows best. And then the listeners, the voters out there will make a choice, you or her. She's Stalin's housekeeper, probably inebriated behind the scenes, throwing things, whatever. And so you're going to have a choice. But my job as a commentator is to go beyond the obvious. I'm not exactly complaining, I'm observing. It's two different things. And if you just joined the show, you missed so much today that's so important, and it's not been heard, so far as I know, in radio history. I played some tapes from the 90s from Yuri Bezmenov, a former KGB operative, on psychological warfare, subversion, and control of Western society. And I tried to show you how Wolf Blitzer, Jake Tapper, and all of the others are actually the subversives that he was talking about. And you have to, again, listen to clip 26 of the former KGB agent whose job was to undermine Western society. Listen to 26.
The bodies of people, groups of people, whom nobody elected, never, as a matter of fact, most of the people don't like them at all, and yet they exist. One of such groups is media. Who elected them? How come they have so much power, almost monopolistic power on your mind? They can rape your mind. But who elected them? How come they have a nerve to decide what is good and what is bad for the elected by you, President, and his administration?
Rape your mind, monopolistic power. So that's the story. Now let's go into clip 25, and we'll show you what they've done to the minds of the children in the schools in 25.
Education. Distract them from learning something which is constructive, pragmatic, efficient. Instead of mathematics, physics, foreign languages, chemistry, teach them history of urban warfare, natural food, home economy, your sexuality, anything, as long as it takes you away.
Now, that's exactly what's going on. Hillary's campaign is all about just what he just said, sexuality, global warming, things of that nature, diversity, which is a code word for anything she wants it to be. It's not going to be what it needs to be for us to survive in the coming decades. That's for sure. So let me now take your calls, because some of them are really good. Where's the one from Las Vegas? He hung up. Yeah, that was a good one. I wanted someone from Washington, like a real spy, to call. Some of them call from Washington. Some call from Las Vegas. They seem to live in Vegas. And I don't know where they're living today. Where are the spies who are listening to this show? Shoe. You like my shoe? It's a really big shoe. WMAC in Georgia. James, line 6, you're up. What's on your mind?
Michael, the tapes you played are priceless. When I was a kid, I'm 62 right now. When I was a kid, I heard Khrushchev say, we will destroy your country from within without firing a shot.
And he banged his shoe on the desk at the UN and said, we will bury you.
Right, right. I could never understand what he was talking about, how that could happen, because pretty much the country was stable. It was, everyone went to church, the stores were closed on Sunday, you know, divorce was uncommon, it was a scandal to have a divorce, and it was, it's upsetting to see the country now the way it is.
Well, Barry from Honolulu represents the antithesis of everything you just said. He represents instability. He is actually their man in Havana, so to speak. Barack Obama is, may as well be, and he certainly is not, he may as well be an agent of subversion because that's what he's achieved. And, of course, it was done so seamlessly that there was almost no warfare in America until the police started to die over this last year. And then we saw the results, and they backfired on him because I think it's awakening the sleeping giant of the union worker, of the police, of the families of police, to the actual effects of this subversion and the subversives. Now let's go to KSFO. John, line one, you're up on the Savage Nation topic, please.
All right. How you doing? I almost crashed my car when I turned the radio on here a second ago and heard you talking about this. I tried to call in a week ago. I'm a black conservative out of Oakland, California. I grew up here in the streets of Oakland. And I can 100% confirm what you're saying is correct. Yuri Bismanoff said it. You're playing the tapes already. This is all what I was calling to say. And it appears it actually is coming through Cuban DGI, Cuban intelligence, is what's actually connected on the streets here with these movements. These are not, this is not just normal black community out here. And I wanted to get that out to you and to the listeners to know.
It's a very important point that you're making. Who is behind these violent protests in the black movement? Who are they?
White liberals. These are not people from the community. They come in secondary after them. They're usually provocateurs. They're the ones breaking stuff, you know, starting the violence on the street. We notice all these protests you've seen out here. All of us from the street know these are not street people out here. These are not people from the neighborhood. These are white people or people of other lighter colors that are coming in from outside. So this is not...
All right, so they're part of the entire apparatus of the socialist world, the World Socialist Revolution. The Bill Ayers types, the friends of Obama, they're the ones behind all of these riots. All right, listen, John, I really appreciate you listening. I'm going to send you a copy of Government Zero. I mean, this is so off the topic, but it's so on the topic, and it relates directly to what I was saying about the Bland Convention. And in some ways, and I'll have to continue on that theme in a few minutes on the Savage Nation. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. Again, we have a fabulous caller, I believe, a man in military intelligence, from WMAL in Washington, D.C. I've been waiting for a caller like this for hours now. Let's hear what Eric has to say on line six. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael, I just wanted to discuss the ex-KJB agent that you've been playing for the past time. I came in late, but you're absolutely correct with how the media is converting and converting the our social society today. It's exactly the way that even the intelligence community conducts really operations to coerce and to convert people to their way of thinking. And
so you're, wait, let me see if I can follow what you're saying. You're in military intelligence, yes or no?
Yes.
So if you go to Afghanistan and you try to convert the people away from the Taliban mindset, you're using techniques of this nature that I'm describing, the techniques that are being used by Wolf Blitzer and company to convert and pervert the minds in America.
That's absolutely correct. And it's all through really just crumbs. You don't want to beat them in the head. It's all through just slight, small, slow mm-hmm. process, because that's mm-hmm. what makes them. It's like I really relate to what the media is doing as an occult. It's not, because you're right, they're not the Soviet Union. They're not another nation that's trying to do it. They're trying to change society. It's like a religion.
Well, but they have changed society. The question is, how much more change can we take until there's nothing left of the society? Certainly society is not Life with Father or Father Knows Best. Life is not the 1950s where everyone went to church and the stores were closed on Sunday. I mean, you've come a long way, baby, haven't you? That's why they're not having any babies, are you, baby? That's why no one will marry you, baby. Isn't that true, baby? Because life isn't like it was. You want it to change? Well, keep on changing, because we won't be here in a very short period of time. It'll disappear. Now, this leads me to a whole other thing about the population collapse in America and why the people who control the country are bringing in fertile illegal aliens, or fertile from let's say Central America, extremely fertile, very young women with babies, because they need an entire generation of very poor, uneducated workers to clean the beds of the hotels. You don't want to hear it? Because they're not going to be Einstein. Forget the flowery speech about there's an Einstein coming in from Honduras, because there's not an Einstein coming in from Honduras with Zika. I'm sorry to tell you. If there is, let me know about it the minute you hear of one. Remember Ahmed the clock boy? He came running back from where he ran from the country. Remember Ahmed the clock boy that they took to the White House? But let's put that aside. They're bringing in these millions of illegal aliens specifically so they have poor, uneducated workers to work the fields, work the farms, and clean the hotels. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Before I move on from the Father Knows Best vanilla convention comments that I've made for the last couple of hours, let me make the point another way. Next week, you're going to watch the Democrats. You think that they're going to dilute their message? They're going to display their message proudly. Their subversion, their perversion, their division, their lies will be on display for all to see. Why are they not going to the center? Why will Hillary not run a vanilla convention? I can guarantee you it will be fire and brimstone from the left. She's not trying to hide anything. And that goes back to Manafort. Why has he taken Trump from the firebrand he is to this vanilla ice cream cone that he isn't? That's really the point of my show. I think he's making a mistake. You say, well, look what they did to Melania on a non-issue. Look what they would do if he actually said anything about the real issues. Well, let him say it. Why do we have to hide from these cowards, these subversives? What are we afraid of Wolf Blitzer for? Who is this guy? Who is this guy, Wolf Blitzer, that you have to be afraid of them? They're nobody. They go home shaking in their boots when they look at themselves in the mirror. You think Jake Tapper is John Wayne? He's scared to death when he goes home. Take his headphones off. What do you think you have there? You have scared rabbits faking it from morning till night. You're going to sit in fear of these people, these subversives, these goons who've destroyed America? I'm not afraid of them. They haven't crushed me yet. They've tried it. So why should Trump be afraid of them? That's my whole opinion. Now let's go to the callers. Thomas on KBET, line 3, Las Vegas, fire away.
Yuri Bezmenov spoke about the 4 steps for ideological subversion. I think we are in the crisis step. First, there was demoralization. That's where the moral fiber and integrity of the country was put into question. Then we had destabilization. That's where they changed the status quo. For example, massive debt, mass immigration, attacking the Constitution, weakening the military. Now we're in crisis. This is the step that involves a revolutionary change of power. Cataclysmic events such as that divide the country up, causing panic among citizens, such as Muslims in federal government positions, acts of terror in the U.S., groups like Black Lives Matter, cop killings, all part of this crisis step. Final step coming up is normalization. This is where the populace finally acquiesces and begins to assimilate to whatever the Wolf Blitzers of the world tell us to.
Well, it sounds like you've studied Mr. Bezmenov before today.
Been waiting.
are you in the intelligence world?
No, not at all.
So how do you know? How do you know all this stuff? How do you know all this stuff?
You know, study on it. I can see what's you know. I lived right by the World Trade Center and saw everything happen. So that.
Okay. Bottom line: can Trump win?
Can Trump win? Like you said earlier, it depends what goes on behind the scenes with all the vote counting.
Okay. Right. It's not who votes; it's who counts the votes. Ask Joseph Stalin. Thomas, stay in the line. Government Zero goes out to you. When I come back, I'm giving you all the news that's come up. You're not going to believe the breaking news. I have it for you on the Savage Nation. Be here. You know, all the murders of the police should not be forgotten. It's a direct result, as I've said many times, of the agitation of Obama from the day he became president. Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch came along. She continued the narrative, the police are killing blacks on purpose. And it resulted for them, unfortunately for them, in the murders. They didn't want the murders, per se. They wanted just to rile up the masses. They wanted a populist movement of the uneducated masses in the streets, largely blacks in this case, let's be clear, and they wanted to motivate them to vote in this election. That was the whole purpose of this for eight straight years. This is what community organizers do, is they organize communities, and the smartest ones don't call for violence. They conduct their revolution in a more orderly, silent method, which I've talked about in many, many books. So Obama had it all to his own for a long period of time, and then something terrible happened, and they some rogues started to appear. They took the message to heart, and they started killing police. Do you notice that there's no protest to speak of outside the Republican National Convention in Cleveland? Have you thought about why there are no riots? Where was the rage we were told we were going to see? Why are there no masses of protests in Cleveland? Because Obama called them off. The machine that runs this country called them off. It got too hot for them. They lost control of the mobs. They lost control of the narrative. It was not looking good for the Democrats. They called them off. They let them be herded into an area away from the convention center where they can conduct themselves with no one watching them. So it's all coming from the top down. And the top decided it got too hot. They lost control. Now, I want to play again for you, not again, something new for you, from Bezmenov, the former KGB agent, who's describing exactly what the Progs have done and are doing to America. In the following short piece, he talks about how to change society by changing religion. And tell me if this is not 100% true, number 24.
In case of religion, destroy it, ridicule it, replace it with various sects, cults, which bring people's attention, faith, whether it is naive, primitive, doesn't really matter. As long as the basically accepted religious dogma is being slowly eroded and taken away from the supreme purpose of religion, to keep people in touch with the supreme being.
Hmm. Now remember how educated this man was. Bezmenov was a genius. He was an expert in Indian languages. He was recruited at a very early age from a suburban family outside of Moscow. You read his background, Bezmenov. Psychological warfare, subversion, and control of Western society. And the whole point of today's exercise, if you want to call it that, is to show you how this fits in with what's going on at the convention. There are no targets for the Progs and the media to attack, so they blew a little thing up way out of proportion. Trump and his organizers maybe are much more clever than I imagine, and they're giving vanilla, so there's nothing to attack. I can see that that's a possibility. There's nothing to attack. That's why it's Father Knows Best. If they had firebrands like Pat Buchanan speaking, can you imagine what the Progs, who were attacking Melania over a nun story, would be doing today? Can you imagine if someone got up there screaming about border security, English only, the erosion of our culture? Can you imagine what Progs like Wolf Blitzer would be doing today? Okay, so you got that lesson. That's lesson number whatever it is in the Savage University of Truth. And now I want to go into some of the breaking news, but before I do, I have to go to WMAL in Washington because I told you that I have a large listenership in the heart of the nation, and some of them work at Langley, or did work at Langley, and some of them have a lot to teach us while they can still do so. Kenny on WMAL, go ahead. You have the floor on the Savage Nation.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Big fan of your show. It's so scary sometimes how spot on you are. I don't even think you know how accurate you are. I worked at Langley for 24 years. I just retired a year and a half ago. And, I mean, there's what he says is smart. I mean, obviously the guy's had some formal training, some professional intelligence training, but it just comes down to, I mean, influencing people is not hard. You know that. It's just the big thing in the professional intelligence world, most people worth influencing have their guard up. Once someone, you know, if they don't know you're trying to influence them or if just to get them lower their guard is 99% of everything, that's the problem in America. The average American is being influenced, but they're, I don't want to say they're stupid or naive, but they're certainly, maybe they are naive. They're just, I mean, it's not hard to see what the left is doing. It's not a complicated mind manipulation or, it's really not. It's just, you, like you said, you get these people on CNN, the Blinker and all these other guys. It's so obvious to anyone with five working brain cells how they're trying to brainwash and manipulate people. But again, people's guard's not up. They just, everything these idiots say.
That's because they have succeeded. The people have been so already converted to their way of thinking that they don't even have to do any more subversion. In other words, they're taking it for a fact that everyone they're talking to on CNN or MSNBC agrees with them. And so, therefore, their entire messaging is already acceptable to the audience, which is how they approach it. Which goes along with what Bezmenov was saying, is that if you do it long enough and smart enough, eventually the people are so subverted that they start to believe that what they're doing is not even subversion. The enemy is so screwed up to such an extent that he does not perceive you as an enemy, and that your civilization or your system of socialism in this case, and your desire to convert America to a socialist nation, is not only an alternative, but it's quite desirable, which is why a loser like Bernie Sanders attracted so much traction. Wouldn't you agree?
I couldn't agree more. So listen to Washington, D.C.'s new program. This lady I'm seeing, I live in Arlington. She lives right across the bridge in D.C., northeast D.C. So anyway, they have this new program. She called me. She said, you got to help me understand this. Washington, D.C. will pay for me to get private cameras, security cameras installed. I'm like, whoa, wait a second. I know there's a lot of hemorrhaging government, but there's no way they're going to subsidize that. So anyway, so I go over to her place, look at the information. I call the government in D.C. They don't know my training. They don't know I worked at Langley. I'm like, what's going on here? They're like, yeah, we'll subsidize it, you know, 90% of it, this and that. I'm like, what's the catch? There's got to be a catch. Well, we have to have complete access to it. We'll send someone out. We'll have a pole put up at the end of your property. We'll have cameras put in, but we have complete access to it. They're wired.
Oh, the government will pay for your cameras, but they have to have access to the feed.
Your neighbors are so excited. I'm like, again, this is them.
That's amazing. It's 1984 on steroids, so to speak. I want to go back to something you said right at the outset of your call, because it's important for me to hear how people at Langley still think. And you were there as near as a year ago. Do they have open minds the way I do, the way I think out loud? Do they permit sessions where people can literally interchange with each other the way I did on this show or do on this show on a regular basis?
To the degree that we would actually talk, that it's almost they need to. It was such an open forum, and people encouraged to speak up and not look at what someone's title is. We'd have these sessions where, you know, it was just everyone was put in one big room. You know, you don't have to answer. There's no chain of command. You don't have to worry about offending anyone. It was a brainstorm. You could challenge anyone. You weren't ridiculed for coming up with any idea. It was just everyone that works there is very smart and has been experienced in different worldwide scenarios. And they so much encouraged throwing, you know, that discussion that, you know, I might be nitpicking, but they probably could use a little more structure. But absolutely, there you could walk into anyone's door and say any comment, there'll be no backlash, there'll be no slip in your file.
How about Mr. Brennan? Was he an autocratic director of the CIA, can you say?
He very much empowered the people underneath him. I mean, I'm not going to certainly say, but what that guy's been through in his career, just a brilliant man. And I think, like most good managers, and you love him or hate him, he did find good people and let them do their job.
Why is there such a hands-off, no talk about radical Islam in the CIA? If what you said is true, Why is there such a policy of denying that radical Islam is at war with the West?
That's certainly not coming from Langley. Again, I think, you know, just like, you know, President, I don't want to get too political here, but just like, it's not an intelligence issue. I mean, when President Bush was told at an elementary school when 911 towers were hit, was he surprised? No, he wasn't like, oh my God, what are you talking about? A plane. He was just like, the attitude of that administration was, yeah, we knew these guys were in flight school. That we knew. I mean, that's all been declassified in the PDB, the presidential barely. I mean, we knew these guys.
Wait, you mean what? Who all knew that the Saudis were in flight schools? The intelligence community knew this?
Oh, yeah, this was all being dispensed to the White House. Of course, we knew they were showing up in flight schools, only when they let off to take off and not land. But the administration's was they don't have the cojones to actually do it. When you look at when Bush was told, he wasn't shocked. He kind of shook his head like they act.
Oh, in other words, he didn't think that the Saudis who attacked us on 9/11
exactly.
would do so. He didn't think they would actually do it.
Exactly. It wasn't an intelligence issue. Just like the FBI talked to this guy in Orlando. You know what? Everyone at Langley gets in heat and trouble for doing too much, but I guarantee you know what our job is? Our job is to keep people safe. Yeah, we get in trouble for doing too much, but if we get our claws on someone, then we may do too much, but you know what? No one's going to die because we do too much. You know, the FBI...
Look, I don't know how far you could go with this conversation. You also said No, you said something to me at the beginning I must follow up with again. You said, Savage, you're so right on about this today, on this Bezmenov stuff. You don't even know sometimes how right you are. What were you referring to?
It's scary because just the attitude that, I mean, the brainwashing that's going on and the attitude that comes out of the political offices, it's so obvious that they're trying to manipulate the minds of the average citizen. It's not what the intelligence reflects. I see.
Let me ask another question. At Langley, amongst the people you knew and know, did they listen to radio shows at times to see what the right wing was thinking?
Oh, my. Yeah, people think that, you know, there's not like a bunk in the back of our offices at Langley. I mean, we all go home. We have barbecue.
No, that's what I mean. Is there a bunker in the back of Langley that that listens to radio shows to see what we're saying?
Well, you know, hey, we all have cookouts. I have cookouts in my neighborhood. We know people. We talk with our friends and our neighbors. I mean, of course we know what, you know, and you know, every, even Fox News and CNN, there's no news anymore. It's all 24 hours editorial on every news.
That's right. That is correct.
To be honest.
Speaking about Fox, God, I can spend the whole show on that charade of poor Roger Ailes being pushed aside so they can go liberal, which is what's coming. The whole reason this is happening is because they want to turn it into the CNN, and they're doing so right in front of our eyes. We can see what the young Murdochs are. They're very liberal. That's their entitlement. They can be anything they want. They own it. It's $1 billion-a-year enterprise. They're moving it to the CNN side. But I loved yesterday where they said some of the other stars are going to walk if Roger Ailes is fired. You know that's nonsense. Where is O'Reilly and Mr. Hannity and Greta Van Susteren going to go? Who is waiting to hire them? The answer is nobody.
Of course, it's all posturing, but I must tell you how accurate you are because, you know, we know, you know, people like, you know the real intelligence, you know what's going on over the world, and then you hear, we wouldn't watch CNN or Fox to find out what's going on because we knew about what they're reporting 2 days before. It was just we wanted to listen to their slant and how prejudice and how their slant's going to try and influence not only their base, but, you know, like every election, it's that middle, that swing vote which really determines most decisions, but... You know, it got to the point where a lot of us look to people, you know, a lot of people, again, that don't watch TV, the news, it's kind of just, it's almost like a comedy hour to see their take on it. But the internet, radio, a lot of people have, you know, not even paying for cable, you know, that I work with because it just got so comical that they just, you know, would listen to internet radio or, you know, and word would get out. Everyone knows. But again, some of the things you say are so scary. I'm like, this guy has got to know someone else. It works here. Just the angle, you're just you can see through the fluff and you can get to the street smart level influence that's going on, that to anyone that's had professional intelligence training, again, it's so obvious. I mean, it's
well, listen to me, I have no professional intelligence training. I just have professional intelligence. I have meaning the ability to think, the ability to analyze. I live alone. I'm fundamentally a hermit. I'm hermetically sealed off from the world. I rarely socialize. I call a few people. That's about it. Hang out with the family. That's about it. But it's me alone looking at the world. It's one man's opinion. And what I'm saying is my intelligence is not that unique. There are millions of people who see the world and perceive it the way I do. They're just not being heard from. I think that's what's missing at your level in the CIA, is you don't realize how many millions of us actually see things as they really are. I am so short of time, I can't believe it. You know, it started on one thing with Father Knows Best. Now we're up to the CIA. My friend, I invite you to call any time, because you've given a lot to the show today, and I'm sure you have a lot more to give. Robert, Jim, please ask the gentleman if he'd like to call on a regular basis, and please do send him a copy of Government Zero.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. And I can't say that I don't agree to a certain extent with the vanilla nature of the convention, because you could see what the progs and the media have tried to do over a non-issue, which is a few lines of overlap between Melania's speech and that of the First Lady. They turned that into a mountain when you all know it was not even a molehill. So you could imagine what would happen if they, in fact, did invite firebrand speakers such, I'm picking one, Pat Buchanan, to speak loudly about the dangers America is facing. Can you imagine what the progs would be freaking out about, how they'd be freaking out about that? So, okay, so that's what we have, is a vanilla, boring convention. But my main point here is, why hide it? Why hide your platform of borders, language, and culture, or your modest nationalism, which is what Donald represents, or has, at least I believe, will enact when he becomes president. I still believe that. Because we're going to watch the Democrats next week in Philadelphia. Do you think they're going to hide their platform? Do you think they're going to go to the center? Do you think that she is going to present a vanilla ice cream cone? No, on the contrary, she's going to present her entire platform, as ugly as it is, as violently unappealing as it is. Why would she do that, and why will the Republicans continue to cut themselves in the foot?